Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that Edward Shafiz to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for April the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Dr. Scott Bradley with me. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com, his lifelong pursuit to preserve the nation. Welcome to the broadcast, Doctor.
Well, thank you very much. And I might just point out that, as you so astutely pointed out at the beginning of the program, it is April 19th, 246 years ago at this moment as we speak. The Brits were halfway between Lexington and Concord. They had already conquered, if you will, the Lexington Green, and they were on their way to Concord, and they were there to, well, violate what became our Second Amendment. They were to pick up the arms, the powder and ball, if you will, of the colonists, and to capture two guys, Sam Adams and John Hancock, the two guys that they considered to be kind of rebel rousers. And they'd kicked over a hornet's nest. So 246 years ago today, there was a stirrings in the liberty cause in the hearts of America. And by the way, if you haven't in recent maybe years, maybe nobody, no time. Some people never even think about these things anymore. I'm kind of a strange one, I guess. But a full review of the events of the day, I think, are worthy of our consideration at some point. And maybe even sharing it with your family this evening, you know, on Monday night, maybe gather your family together and have a little discussion about what happened 246 years ago and how the committees of correspondence had raised the cry across the land, if you will, as the Brits so secretly took off the night before. And their secrecy was blown by some good intelligence finding and good people who'd previously been out among the people raising an awareness about liberty. When they came through the towns hooping and hollering about the redcoats are coming, well, the people recognized their voices. They knew they weren't some guy that had spent a little bit more time in the tavern than he should have and was just having a good time going home. They got out of bed, grabbed their powder and ball and their musket. And if they were smart, they put a little bit of bread and water in their knapsack and they got on their way. And it was one of those things where the people were ready to die for liberty, and Americans today bleeding like sheep for security. Anyway, now that's probably way more introduction than you wanted right this moment, but I think it's always important.
Hold on, doctor, I want more. So let me give you an example. The mainstream press and the news, if you type in April 19th, you know, you get a thing that said, what happened April 19th, this day in history? Important events from this day in history. Find out what happened. And I find it really interesting. Then they have this whole chart. You can look up any day you want. And you can get all kinds of details about what happened this year in history. Now, listen. 1995, Oklahoma City bombing.
Yep, I figured that'd be the first one on the list. I can't use the words on the air that well up in me in regards to the people that are fostering the destruction of the true heritage of America. And it just boils in me to think that what we have done to this nation, and by the way, and you're going to take this on down the road, and I'm hoping you do, but the fact of the matter is there is a very strong movement within the United States to not even discuss history prior to 1900. Of course, that was back in the great progressive era, and there was plenty of their fodder for them in their day about what's going on in our day. And of course, it's on steroids now, but they don't even want to discuss the price that was paid to bring liberty to this land and really, truly to the whole world. America is the light of the world on these things and should be if we're not doing it right now with our current Oh, I don't know. The individuals that sit in office today are not worthy of governance, and I'm totally ashamed of them. But
amen. But check this out. They say this issue of the Oklahoma City bombing, the next one they go to, 1943, Poland-Warsaw, ghetto uprising, and they go into that big old deal. And don't get me wrong, some of these events in history are noteworthy.
Here, let me just talk about that ghetto uprising for a second.
Yeah, please, sure.
The Nazis had absolutely, they had walled up, if you will, the Jewish population in Warsaw. They were starving them to death. I mean, people were having to crawl through the sewers in order to go get a loaf of bread. And if they were captured, they were killed. It was absolutely genocide on steroids by starvation. Okay. Now, what happened was this group of Jews in Warsaw that were walled in by the Nazis had 6 handguns. They started a revolution against the Nazis, and they fought bravely until the Nazis finally brought in their artillery and just pounded the place to rubble. Now, 6 handguns. I mean, when the first Nazi took the first round in the face, they scattered like rabbits. I mean, oh my goodness, these are, they're not harmless and completely without any defense. And you think about that. With just 6 handguns against MG-34s, there's a belt-fed, 8-millimeter machine gun, if you will, and against bazookas, against grenades, against tanks, against artillery, they started it. They were that desperate. 6 handguns. 6 handguns is what it took to give these people enough courage to push back against their oppressors. And you talk about what's going on in America today. I mean, I don't know why it is that we can't see that the need to be able to defend life, liberty, property, the things that we hold sacred, and we're setting them aside. These turkeys that sit in office today are using every opportunity to completely disarm this land, and I am absolutely ashamed of where America's going on this. Go on with your read. I mean,
amen to
19th
that.
Of April.
So listen, and it's everything but, in my opinion, the quintessential celebration that should take place regarding America and our stand for the sacred cause of liberty, and how patient we were before that stand, but yet how necessary that stand was for the colonies or the revolutionaries or the, whatever you want to call them, the Continental Army, how critical that was. Everything but is being talked about in this day in history. So the next one they point out, 1993, Waco. They call it a cult raid, but nevertheless, there you go, the Waco incident they point to.
By the way, this was again an assassination.
Yes,
what they did here is they went in with armored vehicles.
And heavily, murdered all of them.
I mean, they murdered men, women, and children over something that they claim was this David Koresh guy. They could have picked him up when he was out for pizza and beer on his own. They say, oh, yeah, he's molesting children, whatever. I mean, they did not want that to end with them just walking up to his car as he was putting his pizza and beer in his car and saying, Mr. Koresh, could you please come with us right now? We have a few questions we'd like to ask you. No. They assaulted with body armor and armored vehicles and everything else like that.
First off, they escalated it in the media for days, titillating the public with the event and escalating, and then the government smackdown. Was intentional, and what a shame, what a blight on the leadership of this country for it. No doubt about it.
That was Janet Reno and the company, yeah. Anyway, okay.
Yeah, and Bill and crew. All right, here's the next one.
Absolutely.
1897, USA Boston Marathon. Don't you know the Boston Marathon's really important there, Doctor?
Well, and they hype the fear, the doubt, and this little incident that could have been a false flag incident, honestly, and I don't know as we should completely eliminate that as a possibility.
All right, 1927, Mae West got sentenced.
Holy cow, for lewdness or something on the radio?
Yeah, she did a lewd, obscene state stage performance or whatever. I guess anyway, I won't go into the details, but there you have that. So that's something to celebrate, I guess, right? 1928,
anyway.
China's Civil War. 1934, United States, Shirley Temple. Yeah, Shirley Temple stole the show, don't you know? 1936, German military. In the biggest show of military strength since World War I, Germany pays homage to Hitler with a show of 300 tanks. 1940, USA, Jimmy Dorsey. They recorded with the orchestra there, don't you know? Serious business. 1942, they call it the France, I don't know much about this, Vichy government.
Vichy, yeah, that's when the turncoats collaborated with the Nazis, and they held power until they got liberated after D-Day.
Absolutely. 1945, popular musical, Carousel. 1956, Ooh. Grace Kelly and Prince Rainier, Honeymoon. Yeah, they started their honeymoon there, buddy. 1961, Cuba Bay of Pigs.
Oh, man, we could spend some time on that. Well, you know, I mean, I know that the whole show doesn't need... This was a tragic travesty where we had... I mean, this had been planned by Eisenhower. If Eisenhauer had done... sounds like we've got to take a break.
Well, man, we got a whole lot more to cover, ladies and gentlemen.
That's all I can say.
We're going to stick with it. We're going to eventually get to the quintessential event on April 19th that really needs to be focused on. We'll spend plenty of time on it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just getting a lot of these other ones, interesting as they are, out of the way. But just think how muddied they've made this day. And they've turned it into a day of what they want to make you believe it's Patriot Terror Day, so to speak. It's all a big lie. Stand with the truth.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, we're talking about this day in history for a reason, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm looking at the mainstream press's articles about what's happened in this day in history, and they talk about a lot of things, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about 1961, Bay of Pigs. You know what? What a sad tale to tell on this one, Doctor.
Well, again, we could take hours on each one of these things because of the travesty that has occurred. But I don't know quite where to start on this because you got the Dulles brothers, you know, John Foster Dulles, Secretary of State, and Alan Dulles, who was the CIA director, scoundrels since the beginning, well, more than 100 years ago. Back in the 1916 timeframe, they were helping Woodrow Wilson foist global government across the world by going to France to in England to attempt to create the League of Nations and so on. So they were on the scene for a long time. But in the Eisenhower administration, you had Alan Dulles as the CIA director, and you had John Foster Dulles as the Secretary of State. So this shows the kind of characters that Eisenhower put in his staff. Now, there were some good people and bad people. I understand that. That happens a lot with a lot of different administrations. But what had happened is there had been a large fostering of this idea of this new George Washington of Cuba, a guy named Fidel. And so everybody, I mean, there were a few people saying, no, this guy's a communist. No, he's not. He's a Washington. Anyway, he puts his red collar on everybody in Cuba and his gulags and his system, everything. Anyway, so Eisenhower started a process. Now, if Eisenhower had planned, Eisenhower wasn't the brilliant mind behind the stuff that happened in World War II, by the way. We could talk about that. But at any rate, if Eisenhower had been this brilliant in World War II, everybody would be speaking German. And they had decided they were going to put this thing together with a ragtag group of Cuban refugees. The CIA was doing planning. They had the military force of the United States that was committed to it. And what ultimately happened? I mean, it was a disaster from the beginning. And I mean, their small arms, the things that each individual was issued, they were a hodgepodge. You couldn't share ammunition with people because one guy might have had a 9mm and the other one had a 45. I mean, it was just a disaster. And so, and the plan was, if things went badly, they were to escape into the mountains. They had 80 miles of swamp between them and the mountains. I mean, anybody that's tried slogging through swamps for any length of time knows that you can't make any time in that. Anyway, an unmitigated disaster that happened was carried out under the Kennedy administration after the planning of Eisenhower. However, if you haven't read a book, now this isn't covered extensively in the book, it's in retrospect. It's Robert McNamara. McNamara was one of the whiz kids, arrogant putz, that engineered stuff that happened in Vietnam, a quagmire for America. Everything the man touched went upside down. And he gives himself a pass. He's the author of the book in retrospect. Probably hard to find. I don't know. It's probably on Amazon or something. You could find a used one. But at any rate, he gives himself a pass. Well, you know, now that I think about this, it's, here's a few other things we should have thought of. But they were just arrogant and sitting in their little cloistered offices with, you know, their feet up on the desk. That's kind of how I envision them, talking about some of these things where lives were thrown into disarray. And you know what happened in Vietnam after they got into this quagmire. It was absolutely a disaster up through LBJ. Anyway, like I say, don't get me started. There's so many things to be angry about and how we've been betrayed by people that care nothing for our heritage, and you're going on probably with some more things on the 19th of April, avoiding, of course,
Kennedy,
Lexington.
Kennedy inherited this mess from Eisenhower, and it was a disaster from the get-go. It was one of the most disastrous events. I think that it was so disastrous that I believe personally, now that we have kind of hindsight on this thing, the swamp, really the shadow government, the swamp, whatever you want to call it, literally made these things happen to promote communism. Because what happened is that liberty could have prevailed, but when we had this botched scenario so badly that it literally let communism reign in our hemisphere for literally decades on end. And it could have been stopped if there was real patriots there, but the swamp kind of took over and manipulated things to where the communists backed into power and literally stayed there as a result of the fiasco. I digress, but I wanted to highlight that really quick, Doctor.
Great points, true points, tragic points. That's where we are. You know, we used to think, back during Vietnam, some of your listeners may remember this, but my perspective really was throughout this entire thing, you know what? If it was a multiple choice question test, occasionally, just happenstantially, by chance, you would make some good choices. But it never did happen. I have letters in my files that tell us why the communists seemed to know before the ground troops knew what was going on, what was going to go on, because we informed the United Nations Security Council before any major operation was undertaken, and the head of the
insanity.
United Nations Security Council. Insanity. True.
I'm telling you, criminal treason at the highest levels over and over and over and over. And that's why we continued to lose. We went to Vietnam. We lost and lost again because our hands were tied, because we were manipulated, because we were betrayed on every side by our own people. Really, these fiascos of losing over and over and over happened, starting with World War II. We had an incredible win on one hand, but we really lost because we were drug into that war illegally, unconstitutionally, immorally as well. We had a heads up on that war. That was the last kind of official declared, war, not counting Vietnam or whatever that we had. But all I'm telling you is that it's been disaster. And what they do is they back us into a corner. They manipulate us. We're betrayed by our own. You know, they always say if America's ever to fail, it will not happen from the outside. It'll happen from the inside. These reality checks, as you look back in history, point that out like nobody's business, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Anyway, let's make that clear. The next one, 1969, students occupy Willard Straight Hall. Militant black students at Cornell University and others used force to take over Willard Straight Hall, demanding a, quote, black studies program. And after a deal was reached with the administration, the news showed students leaving the hall carrying rifles. The reason I bring this up, though, is, again, this is where they riot in the streets. They use race. They use divisions. They use to continue to manipulate their agenda. We see it over and over and over again, no different. Then they go to 1972, tell you about Apollo 16.
Before you leave that one about the, there were a lot of occupations of universities, buildings and so on, but something came to mind. Again, you know me. Charges that have been brought against Donald Trump for the January 6th event, and the outcry for blood, and he's the cause of it all. Well, on the other hand, you look at Maxine Waters. Here is ostensibly, the woman in front of the parade of rioters saying, get out in the streets, stir the pot, break more windows, whatever. Those aren't exact quotes, obviously, but that's where she is right now. And nobody is calling her to task for the absolute seditious words that she is using when she's cheering these people on when Trump said, go home, be peaceful. Thanks for coming, basically. Not exactly.
Yeah, we talked about
again.
It first hour, too. Maxine Waters literally went to Minnesota this last weekend, stirred the pot, said we need to really incite the BLM protesters, tell them to push back harder, stay in the streets, etc. And right after that, a drive-by shooting happened on National Guard and a police team there, right hours after her insurrection agenda.
No, there's no calling to task on that, and it is absolutely astonishing to me that where this seditious, the words, burn the town down, basically, is about what's being told, and in contrast that to what Trump did, and nobody is calling her out on this thing. It is absolutely astounding to me. Somebody needs to grow a backbone and say, the people in Congress have the right to remove people from office when they become such an embarrassment to everything, not just an embarrassment, but a threat to the whole cause of liberty. And they could do that. The Congress could say, you stepped over the line, ma'am. I think we don't need you here anymore. But they won't. They won't. They have an impeachment hearing of a guy that's already out of office, and they have his exact words on tape, everything he said, and they pressed it and pressed it and pressed it. But with her, it's like, the woman's passionate about this stuff. Come on, give me a break. I don't know. It's weird to me what we're doing. Anyway, go on with your review of things because I'm just getting madder and madder.
1987, buddy. You got this incredible opportunity. The Simpsons came out, buddy.
Well, now there's a watershed event.
You're darn right. The Simpsons, baby. I'll tell you what else happened in 1989. Dr. Bradley's exactly right. They literally obliterate everything before they dip into the 1800s a teeny bit to make you feel like they've really covered history. Wow. Hang tight.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Authorities in Texas say two people were killed when a driverless Tesla with no one in the driver's seat crashed into a tree and burst into flames. The cause of the crash, which happened about 9 p.m. local time in Spring, Texas, near Houston, is under investigation. First responders had to use nearly 30,000 gallons of water over 4 hours to put out the fire, as the Tesla battery kept reigniting. Authorities tried to contact Tesla for advice putting out the fire. It was not clear if they received any response. Staying in Texas, Austin, Texas police identify Stephen Broderick, a former Travis County Sheriff's Detective, as the man wanted for allegedly killing at least three people near an apartment complex in northwest Austin, Texas. The detective is also accused of raping a 16-year-old girl last June. The Austin Police Department said the suspect was still on the run early Monday and is considered armed and dangerous. USA Radio News.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor today. You may be able to save on Linzess and make fewer trips to the pharmacy. See if you're eligible to pay as little as $30 for 90 days. Visit Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
In San Francisco, California, what has killed more people, COVID-19 or drug overdoses? Jeremy Scott from the Oregon USA Radio News Bureau has the details.
In San Francisco, 255 deaths were recorded from the coronavirus last year, killing nearly three times as many, accidental drug overdoses at 713. These numbers are from preliminary data released by the city's Office of the Chief Medical Examiner. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that the largest increase in the number of overdose deaths nationwide occurred in March and May, coinciding with the first lockdowns. In a statement, the CDC said the increases in drug overdose deaths appear to have accelerated during the COVID-19 pandemic. Fentanyl is behind more overdose deaths than any other drug.
According to the American Medical Association, a sharp increase in drug-related overdoses has occurred during the COVID pandemic. Congratulations to Alex Bowman for winning the NASCAR race in Richmond, Virginia on Sunday. Next weekend, it's Talladega. USA Radio News.
Yeah, buddy, what happened in this day in history? Back in 1987, man, The Simpsons came out. I mean, it's just nonsensical stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Then they go forward in 1989, they tell you about the Central Park attack on the jogger. On the 19th, I guess these perpetrators committed attacks and assaults in the northernmost part of New York City's Central Park. Around the same time, an attack on Trisha Miley occurred. Bottom line is they beat her, raped her, all kinds of stuff. She was beaten almost to death. Anyway, long story short, they got these five teenage people. They forced them all into confessions, but the convictions were overturned in 2000. And two, after a, Macious Reyes is the guy who committed the rapes and basically confessed to the crime, and so they finally let these other people go. In other words, then they go to 2001, they go all the way up through the 2000s. But suffice it to say, ladies and gentlemen, they literally just drag you through all the worst decisions in American history from the 1900s forward. They dip into the 1800s for a comment or two, but for the most part, they just jettison history before 1900, as Dr. Bradley wisely told you they would. And they go through this whole litany of these things to where you just go, what? But what really happened? And I don't want to say other things don't matter. Don't misunderstand me. Things matter. But there are priorities to what really needs to be told in history. And I submit to you, they're bringing up all the nonsensical stuff. and all the stuff that puts shame on the greatest country on the face of the earth, when what they ought to be doing is bringing up the things that matter most to instill patriotism in Americans, to help people understand their heritage, to help people understand what we've lost and understand what the founding fathers fought for and why. And let's start there, Dr. Bradley, and let's go back before 1900 and tell the tale of truth, shall we, my friend?
Well, you know, I don't know as we have time to do anything justice, but something else came to mind. Can you imagine? My mind keeps leaping from one thing to the next.
I happen to do that. I trigger Dr. Bradley, and everything comes to his mind all at once. Yeah. But I'm telling you, this, we need to highlight this quintessential reality in history that most aren't even going to ever hear about if we don't
okay,
do it.
Okay, I'm going to just mention something here that is, I mean, it's kind of, it's current in the news today. It's the antithesis of what the truth is, by the way. And I don't know how much you've seen this stink that's happened about going back to the Anglo-Saxon government thing, that they're calling some of these conservative Congress people to task for having observed anything about the Anglo-Saxons, and it's considered to be racist and kind of inflammatory, and I mean it's because of a bunch of white guys who are involved in it, I think, but at any rate. The Anglo-Saxons, let me just talk about them for a second. But I guess we got to go back really to like the 18th chapter of Exodus, because during that time when the children of Israel were on their way through the desert and Moses was having a hard time governing them because everybody brought every little stinking problem to him, his father-in-law Jethro said, no, can't do it this way. Set up tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands of, you know, groups with good and wise individuals over those and govern that way, and only the hard problems should be brought to Moses. That's fine and good. And again, I'm really skipping over it. Go read Exodus chapter 18. But what happens, though, as we roll forward, and it's a very, I have a theory about it, but it's not anything we need to discuss at length. But the fact is, anciently, the Anglo-Saxons of Northern Europe and British Isles had a form of governance that followed the pattern established in ancient Israel. And they had that kind of government where they had representative government, smaller to larger groups, and each one of them had responsibilities, jurisdictions, if you will. And we could talk at some length about that. It was a fascinating thing. Free men lived under that English law, if you will. And guys like Alfred the Great governed and all this kind of stuff. And I just bring this up in passing because this is our heritage. And in the summer of 1776, which somebody that might be paying attention might recognize that was the summer that the Declaration was signed and things were on the roll in America, Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter to Edmund Pendleton. He wrote in this, "Has not every restitution," that's a restoral, okay, "of the ancient Saxon laws had happy effects? Is it not better now that we return at once into that happy system of our ancestors, the wisest and most perfect ever yet devised by the wit of man as it stood before the 8th century?" Okay, so Jefferson was this quintessential eclectic Renaissance man. He learned Saxon so that he. Now I've tried to learn Saxon. There's not any real good courses that I can find. If anybody knows of one that a dummy like me could maybe progress through, let Sam know. He'll let me know. But I would love to learn Saxon. Jefferson's intention was that Anglo-Saxons should be taught in every American university because it gave us a strand, a thread back into our heritage so that Americans could understand where they came from and how this worked. Now, you know, I read Beowulf and some of those things that are, I mean, it's just a fascinating kind of thing to me. But the fact of the matter is I don't know enough to be dangerous. But here's what the founding fathers wanted, particularly Thomas Jefferson. He wanted that heritage to be carried forward to us today. And here's what's happening. People are being strung up, not literally, but they're being hung out to dry by people that are just screaming that this is basically a racist restoral of the things that made America bad. Not great, but bad. And I don't know if if people stopped and thought about it, you know the deflection that happens. If you know you're getting something right going on, you're going to get the biggest pushback you can. And it's interesting to watch what's happening with some of these things that are being said about the Saxon origins of America.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's be very clear. Patriot Day is what this day is usually called. It commemorates the battles of Lexington and Concord, all right, which were fought near Boston in 1775. It's annually held on the third Monday of April. They say not to be confused with Patriot Day, held on September 11th. See, they're mixing up history. There's only an S difference in this, ladies and gentlemen. But it's Patriots Day. And we need to understand a little bit about what Patriots Day really is and really means. Okay? What was it that the founders fought for? What was it that made them say, wait a minute, we can't go there. We can't allow King George and crew to stand here. This has got to stop, and it's got to stop now. And I don't know how to articulate this even more, but I don't know that it could be more relevant 200 years ago than it was today, 246 years ago, than it is right now. Because you know what? Biden, an internal king, sad to say, like King George, is coming for your guns, just like George did back in the day. It couldn't be more relevant as history repeats itself if I tried, Doctor.
Well, that's absolutely the case. In fact, and I hope we can come back to Patrick Henry's speech in March of 1775, but he said he has but one lamp by which his feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. I know of no way of judging the future but by the past. And Shakespeare said what's past is prologue, meaning, you know, it's the past is an introduction to what is yet to come. And what you're seeing today by monarchical rule, the stroke of the pen, law of the land. I mean, there's these false statements that they use all the time. An unelected king, if you will, I mean, he really wasn't elected, as I hope most of your listeners know, that's acting as though he is the king, is a stroke of the pen causing laws. This is really, truly a repeat. And Santayana wrote, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. This is the condition of children and barbarians in whom instinct has learned nothing from experience. So most Americans have been sheltered, if you will. That's kind of the nice way to say that it's been withheld from them, this heritage that we have, this wonderful thing. And I really truly believe if we turned our hearts back to God, and I know it's hard to get through a program with us without bringing God up, but in his speech in March of 1775,
it'll never happen. Let's stop. Hold on. It'll never happen. And the reason it won't happen, ladies and gentlemen, is you have got to tie it to God Almighty. Because if you don't, you lose your tether to truth, you lose your tether to honesty, and you lose your direct guidance for solutions and liberty. You will never get us to not bring God up, because there is no answers if you leave God out, Doctor.
Well, that's right. And it's Patrick Henry said, there is a just God in heaven who will fight our battles for us. And that's where we need to be. I mean, because right now it seems as though if you read in Malachi about those that are proud and do wickedly are upheld. That's where we are in America today.
Our prayers are with Patriots Day and the real meaning of today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk about it more in seconds. We'll talk about Patrick Henry. We'll talk about you and I, because we should have a link between his stance and ours.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, and yours truly discussing Patriots Day, April 19th, 1775, Battles of Lexington and Concord, when George came for the guns, the other George said, uh-uh, and thank heavens he did, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let them tempt you out of understanding that bit of relevant, more relevant than I can imagine today, history. And let's start out by talking about Patriots Day, why we should honor it, why we should celebrate it. Folks like Patrick Henry spoke boldly, nobly, and independently, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the Virginia March Convention, 1775. Patrick Henry gave a speech. I have one lamp by which my feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. I know no way of judging the future, but by the past. Patrick Henry. Really wise words to think about as history sadly repeats itself today. And now, instead of it being George, it's Joe that's trying to take away our guns. Instead of it being somebody overseas far, far, far away, it's somebody right here that we've just supposedly elected. Now, I digress. I don't want to get into the election discussion. But I do want to highlight this reality that, folks, the issues are the same. 246 years ago, and now the issues are the same. Thugs want to come for our guns because they know once they disarm us, they can push for flat-out tyranny. Good people, patriots, if you will, say, uh-uh, that's not happening. The only question is, this time around, can we do it peacefully? But we better take Patrick Henry's words seriously, Dr. Bradley.
Okay, there's so much to talk about. And hopefully we can come back to John Adams and Thomas Jefferson's perspective of when the Revolution really began, and we need that to happen in America today, and I'll come back to that perhaps in a moment. But just a couple of quick statements out of Patrick Henry's March talk. He said, we are apt to shut our eyes against a painful truth. Apply this to today, by the way. Just try and think about this. We are apt to shut our eyes against a painful truth. Is this the part of wise men engaged in a great and arduous struggle for liberty? Are we disposed to be the number of those who, having eyes, see not, having ears, hear not? For my part, whatever anguish of spirit it may cost, I am willing to know the whole truth. It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take. But as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Now, that was March 23rd, 1775. Of course, the whole talk is worthy of a careful consideration. But in their reconciliation letters, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, a magnificent read. If you haven't done it, you need to do it. But at any rate, they discussed when the Revolution began. And the point was made that it didn't happen in 1775, because that was just a kind of a... an incident in the Revolution. The real Revolution, in John Adams' mind, started in 1760. And there was a 15-year period of time in which the hearts and minds of the Americans were prepared to stand with liberty or die. And that's what happened. Americans need a restoration of that renewed feeling in their hearts. And I don't know as we got 15 years. I really, truly don't. But we do have a good back trail that we can go look at if we're willing to learn from those days and those great American patriots that paid so much to bring liberty to this land. And I hope and pray that Americans will not put this off. You know, shut our eyes, you know, painful truth, okay, eyes won't see, you know, all this kind of stuff. And this is, I keep this in the front of my day planner. For my part, whatever anguish of spirit it may cost, I am willing to know the whole truth. We need to know the truth, and we need to stand with correct principle, and that's where we should be today. And I don't, like I say, I don't think we got 15 years to have these sowed into the hearts of the people like it was to the early Americans. I think we've got a lot more attenuated or abbreviated position that we've got to take on this to help everybody get awakened.
Well, understand that, you know what, why did the revolution start? You know what, it was many, 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 many years in the making, peacefully pushing back against King George, but all of a sudden it got brought to a head. What made that happen? When did the American Revolution really start, and literally why? Taking away our right to keep and bear arms, I think, was a quintessential discussion. But let's circle back to some of those gentlemen who understood it and articulated their views on it. Doctor?
Well, you know, there's been so many things. I mean, if you stop and think about it, all of these different intolerable type acts and stamp acts and all these different little piddly, and they were piddly, taxes that were occurring in the founding era. And we could make a whole list of these things. But the point of the matter is, number one, they were not nearly as arduous and oppressive as what we're experiencing today. And one of the issues had to do with the fact that these were being settled upon Americans without their permission. They were American free men. I mean, they were, you know, British free citizens. They were free men. But yet they didn't have a constitutional approach for these things. It was being stroke of the pen by the king, or Parliament was doing it without their representation there. And this is exactly what's happening in America today. The Declaration is today's news today, in my opinion. And what was happening then was that we were having onerous burdens placed on our back that we did not give our permission to. You know, the people need to say, oh, we'll be governed by these people under these constraints, the Constitution. That's what happened when it got ratified. But what's happening today, for example, the president has got this deal out there right now. Let's take a simple thing about a pistol brace. He has said, let's study this, and he turned it over to the BATFE, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and anyway, explosives is the last word. But at any rate, he has said, we're going to study this, and then we're going to make a law that you can't have a pistol brace, which gives better stability as you're shooting a short-barreled weapon. And they're going to create a law that will be imposed upon Americans as though it had been passed through the Article 1, Section 1 process, where all our legislative authority is held by the legislature. No, no, no. This is going to be created by an executive branch department that will say, now this is the process that you have to go through to get our permission to have this stabilizing thing put on your firearm. And stuff like this happens constantly. Congress cannot delegate the authority to make law from themselves because it was constitutionally granted to them through the process of ratification of the Constitution. But yet we do it constantly. The stroke of the pen that the president is using to create law by executive order, all of these things are something a monarch does. And that was what was happening in the founding era upon Americans. And that's when they said, no, we're not going to put up with this anymore. We are not going to allow our rights as free men to be denigrated and destroyed. And Americans today don't even know what's at stake because they don't even know what their God-given rights are. They think government created rights, are truly the essence of what rights are. And they're trying to limit God-given rights to the point that the government-created rights take precedence. But when government creates rights, it creates a responsibility for someone else to fulfill those rights. And that's when the oppression comes on regular Americans that would like to just be free and live the way God created us to be. So, yeah, we're in a deep set of trouble. And there's some parallels to the era of the founding of this nation, 1775, 76. Some of these things are on us again today. I mean, turn to your Declaration of Independence. It's acts of pretended legislation. That's the 13th offense of the king in the Declaration. He has sent swarms of officers to harass our people. That's the 10th point, if you will, of the offenses of the king out of the Declaration. They've basically removed... justice has been obstructed. You know, that's the 8th point out of the Declaration. There is no more justice in our system.
Patrick Henry, Thomas Jefferson, Sam Adams, these early patriots understood these principles, and we must carry them forward. We must carry their legacy forward, Doctor.
Well, that's absolutely true. And you look at the 21st offense of the king. He's fundamentally altered the forms of our government. That's what's happening in America today. The thing that we ratified, this Constitution, is being fundamentally altered. And in fact, Obama talked about fundamentally changing our government, and they have been. But see, Americans don't know the limits and bounds. Most Americans, maybe your listeners do, I don't know, and I hope they do. But what's happening is it's not just slipping through our fingers. We're in free fall in this land today. And when a woman in Congress can openly suggest that Nazis in the streets, burning and pillaging and plundering and all of that stuff going on, is given a pass, largely because of the color of her skin and her political inclinations. I mean, it's like, holy cow, I don't care what color somebody's skin is. I care about the principles they stand for. That is how I judge every single person's action. What principles do you stand with? And they're very simple and straightforward if we'll just take the time to try and understand and embrace them. And we can restore everything the way it is. But right now, there aren't very many standing tall. There's not many standing in the gap. There just aren't. And it's a tragic
travesty.
Well,
Liberty Roundtable Live aims to educate and inform and bring these things up consistently. It's about God, family, and country every time, all the time. And, you know, I know some may not be as religious as I or whatever you want to say, but folks, if we don't turn to God and repent, then we miss the opportunity, the promised blessing biblically that he's issued us. If we repent and turn to him, he will heal our land and protect us. And boy, howdy, do we need that like nobody's business. And we need to understand that Patrick Henry brought up valuable points. Sam Adams and Thomas Jefferson and some of these early patriots, they understood that, you know what, we better defend our liberty or we will lose it. And many now are deceived into trading their security for liberty. They'll wind up with neither. And so it's really important that we provide the, I don't know, it almost reminds me of John the Baptist, if you will. Not that we're trying to elevate ourselves to that status necessarily, but we are trying to say we need a cry in the wilderness and make sure that the people hear loud and clear our witness and our warning about the problems, what we're facing, but most importantly, the solutions and what we're advocating for. Because a lot of people complain about the problems. Very few people tie it to solutions at the end of the day. Doctor, final words, yours, 20 seconds.
Okay, the very end of the Declaration, and we need to do this, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, and with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. We need to return to those days, folks.
Amen to that. It is about God, family, and country, and it is about people standing up for principle, not standing up for individuals. We don't need an individual savior. We've already got one. It's Jesus Christ, God Almighty, and his son, Jesus Christ, that will save us. No other will get that done. But in the meantime, we need to pledge our honor, our sacred honors, and our fortunes and everything for the sacred cause of liberty. All right, ladies and gentlemen, for Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman, freedomsrisingsun.com, lovingliberty.net, tell the tale of liberty, would you please? God save the Republic.